Andrew.
Hey, Alex.
What's this?
This is Brains on the Outside.
What's that?
Well, it's a podcast where we dream up ridiculous businesses to solve the world's issues.
Oh, yeah. Each week, we take one of our listeners' problems and we each pitch a company, product, or service to help them out.
And then we bicker about whose idea was best.
Previous ideas have included a bank you have to rob to withdraw your money and a delivery service where you have to meet a spy under a bridge to get your packages.
So, Alex, it's finally happened. We've been very well behaved for 72 weeks. We did it. 72 weeks. Every week an episode came out. Mm-hmm. And then last week, my body betrayed me and we didn't get one out.
I don't think it was your body. I think time zones betrayed us, Andrew. I think our misunderstanding of, well, it wasn't even that. It was just, we were just super optimistic about being able to line up with an 8-hour time difference.
So what you're saying is it's America's fault.
It's America's fault.
Joe Biden. Stop Brains on the Outside.
That's what you get. That's what you get. Sleepy Joe's sleeping. And he's had an 8-hour lie-in. That's what it is.
I feel just, we have to be very clear. That was ironic. You're not a Sleepy Joe truther. Get it clear for the audience.
I love Sleepy Joe. I love Joe. He's a good man.
On hindsight, it was an audacious idea to record when I was in San Francisco.
It was. If it had worked out, it would have been incredible. It didn't work out. And as it was, so that meant we had a nice, relaxed week where we didn't record an episode. And now, I tell you what, Andrew, my brain is full of the good ideas.
I think being somewhere else, seeing how a whole other part of the world lives their life. Uh-huh. It's maybe reassess. And I've come back, lots of ideas, lots of thoughts. I was in a cinema, Alex. Do you know they clap during the movie?
Wait, yeah. What?
Yeah.
What?
We went to see Indiana Jones. And in the middle of it, they clapped. Like it was a gig.
Wow.
He'd pick up his whip and they'd cheer. It's madness. Shit.
I quite like that though.
There was just a moment, the first time we were like, is this a one-off? Me and my friend looked at each other and in our eyes, we could tell you both were thinking, what the fuck? So I've gone off, I've experienced all this weird, strange stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think it'll improve, it'll sharpen our innovative ideas.
It's really juiced your brain up.
Really juiced my brain.
I tell you what, this week as well, we experienced a conference here in the Northeast that also helped to mostly juice my brain.
I felt 85% of the talks juiced my brain, but the one talk that was like, he might have been in a cult. I'm not sure. Like
that was a really weird. I sincerely hope that he isn't in a cult, but really did feel like he was in a cult.
When I get the feedback form, I'm going to say, was that guy in a cult, man?
Yeah.
Do I call him up and check on him?
Just check he's okay. Check he's okay. But I mean, there were some other really amazing talks there, right?
It was
the
really oceanographer
cool.
who told us about how you can see how stressed a whale is by looking at its earwax. That
who
was interesting.
Even knew that whales had ears. What
I did not know that.
Yeah, I know. That was really super awesome. I really liked the guy the origins guy who was mapping geological features against like human stuff, who talked about the origin of cities in Mesopotamia and then showed that map of like the UK and where 320 million year old mineral deposits were and where people voted for Labour. I really had this. So yeah, cool.
Basically, if there was a mine in your town at any point, you were going to vote for Labour.
Really super cool. I found that whole thing fascinating, actually. And then the self-driving cars was pretty rad as well. It was good stuff there, man. It was really, I enjoyed it.
A lot of content.
Yeah.
A lot of content. And I appreciate the content.
Yeah, it was good.
Alex, I feel the last few episodes, I've had the really, really amazing and smooth transitions into the question. Like, I can't think of a way to smoothly transition into this question.
Let me have I think. So the last talk of that conference wasn't really a talk so much as a spectacle of a guy who was appearing to be a kind of unhinged scientist blowing things up.
It was amazing.
It was really cool. He was wearing a lab coat. I tell you what, though, the first thing that I thought when I saw him was, you do not have safety specs on.
Oh, shit. That was smooth, Alex. Should we roll the tape?
Yeah. Hi, Alex and Andrew. My name is Jasmine, and here is my problem. I am slightly vain. I am growing older, and I need my glasses. And when I come home, the first thing I do is I take my glasses off and I put them down somewhere. And it is literally a daily, well, not daily, literally every time we have to leave the house, the entire family goes around looking for my glasses because I cannot find them and I cannot drive unless I'm wearing my glasses. But then also because my eyesight is getting worse because I'm getting older and everything, I can't really find my glasses because my eyesight is bad, but I need my glasses to have good eyesight. And so this is a bit of a chicken and egg problem that I run into all the time. So the problem I would like you to solve is, could you please tell me or come up with a way for me to be able to find my glasses easily? I guess that's it. And if you can come up with something, you would have a very, very grateful 40-something-year-old middle-aged mum. Thank you.
Jasmine? Oh my God, thank you. What a great question.
Incredible question. Absolutely amazing. As a glasses wearer and a human being in my 40s, I have some sympathy with this. Although I have to wear my glasses all the time. I can never take them off or I'll just walk into things. But I do understand this struggle. I definitely understand this through my wife, who is having this exact situation herself. So
I don't wear glasses, but I do feel sad for your plight.
Thanks.
Do you have an amazing and innovative business idea, product, service, solution, thought experiment, ideology, new product line, etc. that might help Jasmine out?
Hell yeah, I do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Do you?
Hell yeah. Do you want to go first though?
Okay, I'll go first. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. So Andrew, the other day, I was in the fair city of Newcastle. And I was walking down the street, as one does. And I nearly went flat on my face, having tripped over something duly abandoned upon the ground. And it was a freaking electric scooter, man. And I kind of did a very athletic, for me, sort of leap as I stumbled and managed to jump straight over it, only to find that when I landed, there was another electric scooter right in front of me. And I managed to not fall over it, but there were a lot of electric scooters on the pavement. In fact, when I looked up, there were freaking hundreds of electric scooters abandoned in the middle of Newcastle.
You know that bit in The Simpsons where Sideshow Bob is trying to get Bart and there's just rakes everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But that near catastrophic incident where, as a 43-year-old man, if I had tripped over that electric scooter, I could well have broken every bone in my body, obviously. But as, you know, that as a result of that nearly catastrophic falling, I came up with the perfect solution to this exact problem.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah. It's nobody no longer owns glasses. That's my idea. Instead, you rent them by the hour from the street, like an electric scooter or an electric bike.
Interesting.
So you need a pair of glasses. There's just a pair of glasses lying on the floor. You just pick them up and put them on. And when you put them on, you tap it with your phone and it's like, oh, you're using glasses now. And it starts charging you by the minute. And then when you take them off and chuck them back on the floor again, so someone else can come and pick them up, then you stop paying for that. What I've invented here is is site as a service.
Site. What about when you're in your house?
Well, that's fine. You just pick up a pair off the street and you bring them into your house. That's fine.
And then just ticking up.
Just ticking up. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you can't just dump them in, like drop them on the floor in the house. That doesn't work. You have to drop them in a public space. So we've ring fenced all the public spaces for that.
So it's like those scooters. You can't just drop a scooter off anywhere. It has to be in one of the scooter zones. So, right. So I'm imagining if I didn't have my excellent 20/20 vision, then I would pick one of these up. I'd pay my money. If I left this region, if I didn't pay, what would happen? Would they sort of fog up?
Yeah, they get worse. So if you stop paying, the vision just gets worse and worse over time.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. That's how we prevent you from.
They become like beer goggles. They sort of like your sight gets wavy.
Exactly. They kind of come misty, sort of melty glass feeling. Yeah.
Before I really jump on the yes and bandwagon, I feel I need to have, there's a big problem in my head, which wasn't the original problem that Jasmine had, was that she couldn't find their glasses. She didn't have glasses on, so she couldn't find them.
But that's fine, because there's always glasses there.
There's so many, you can guarantee. There's
so many pairs of glasses.
You walk out, and it's just crunch, 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 crunch. Yeah,
there's glasses everywhere. Just glasses everywhere.
So then, is this the case that there's just so many, you will eventually, my understanding is each pair of glasses are different. They have different focal strengths and stuff that you would find one eventually.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah. So there are so many pairs and so many variations that eventually you'll find one that's like, it's good enough. You can see enough. It's fine. You just pick up a bunch of different pairs, try them on. You get 5 seconds with each pair of glasses that you put on for free just to see whether it works or not.
Well, that's enough for a quick little like, up to your face, see, throw on the ground again.
Yeah, exactly.
Are these glasses different in any way to normal glasses? Are they strengthened? Are they protected in any way? Because I'm guessing, you know, people are standing on them, people are throwing them in the river, people are, you know, doing all sorts of stuff out in public with them.
Well, what I'd thought was, originally I was like, oh, we need to make them stronger. You know, they've really make the electric scooters really industrially tough so they can be thrown about the place. But actually, I think because it's just spectacles, we just make them incredibly cheap so we can just churn out vast, vast quantities of them.
Oh,
so,
wow. Okay.
You know, it doesn't matter if
they're loads.
It's just loads. It's just like hundreds of pairs of glasses strewn about the streets.
Do you imagine you can buy one pair of glasses still? Is that just not an option?
No, that's no longer an option. We have to create a cartel of all of the glasses manufacturers and all the opticians together. Now, you know, I did say the cartel word and I did mean it, but obviously we do it in a legal way. But we have to create that in order for this to work. But it will be better for everybody overall. You know, there is a problem for the people who just need to wear glasses all the time, like me. Yeah. That is a sacrifice that people like me will have to make, where buying a pair of glasses is no longer an option for us. And we have to just full time rent them for our faces. But it's like Airbnb, right? It's a similar situation.
I guess Airbnb, you are renting someone else's house.
Yeah.
And I guess you're renting someone else's glasses.
Yeah.
By someone else, you mean Specsaver Corp.
Yeah, exactly. And that's basically what's happened to Airbnb. At some point, so they say, no one's going to own a house anymore because Airbnb is going to own all the houses and we'll just Airbnb all of our houses all the time.
So my only other thing is that this is actually extremely similar to my idea. So I might pose some questions to you.
Yeah.
About how this might differ from my idea, which I'll have to change as we enter the second half now. So it's my idea.
Uh-huh.
Was going to be that glasses were super cheap, like your idea.
Yeah.
And there was thousands of them. You didn't buy one pair of glasses, you bought thousands of pairs of glasses.
Right.
So it would just mean it wouldn't matter if you lost one because you'd have so many. And then eventually they'd just be all on the street, thousands of pairs of glasses. Is it a public good thing?
Right.
Now, can maybe just take a minute to compare and contrast that idea of, instead of maybe me renting them as a scooter, what if I just owned 1,000 of them and eventually they would end up getting lost outside and they'll be outside in the end. Do you think it's better for me to own 1,000 or me to rent them from you?
Well, so Andrew, speaking from a capitalist perspective,
yeah,
right, you want the site as a service model because you get the subscription fee.
It is good to have that sort of reoccurring revenue on your books.
It is, yeah. Whereas if someone just buys one pair of glasses, you know, not the best, is it? Like, we don't get a lot of revenue there. I've had this pair of glasses that I love for quite a few years now. And I get the lenses changed every now and then, but really I've just bought one pair of frames. So I'm not generating as much money for the glasses economy as I could be. You know, but if I was paying £4 a day for my site, that would have generated a lot more money.
It's also like, what you're going to do? Not pay £4 a day to see?
Yeah.
To take part in society?
Exactly.
£4. Alex, that's a fucking bargain, to be honest. That's not very much to just take part.
I feel
and
so.
And go to your job, you know?
Yeah, I feel so.
So, Alex, is that your idea then? Glasses as a service. Do you have anything else you want to throw out in your allotted time?
I mean, sure. Okay. All right. Seeing as you've got something which is similar to what I've got, I think I could also pitch this, which is normalize not being able to see.
Oh.
And nobody wears glasses at all. But we make everything in the world 30% bigger so you can see it more easily.
So is there an element that the people who normally wouldn't have to wear glasses because they have good vision, would they be forced to wear glasses that make their eyesight worse to average everybody out?
No, it's fine. We just make everything 30% bigger. So like, you know, because the problem, like Jasmine talks about not, you know, she needs her glasses to drive. The reason she needs her glasses to drive is because she might not be able to see the road signs in the cars. We just make those bigger for everyone.
That is actually quite interesting.
Yeah. You know, the menu in a restaurant, you just make it 30% bigger. The other, anything else that you need to find, we just make it 30% bigger so you can just find it more easily.
There's a lot of knock-on benefits here because everyone will have to remake everything they make. It'll really help the economy. A4, even like an A4 sheet of paper.
Yeah.
Like the menu at the restaurant, 30% bigger, not just the font, but the paper itself. That's going to boost the paper economy.
Exactly. A4
cars, 30% bigger. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Number plate, 30% bigger. You go into the opticians and that thing that you have to read is 30% bigger. You just make it all bigger.
So everything bigger.
And then no glasses for anyone.
So I guess that works for far-sighted people. What about short-sighted people?
Well, I think it works
that
the same.
That works, okay, yeah.
I guess I think it works the same, really.
Yeah.
It's just always, you know, like, yeah, if you go into a restaurant and you see someone, you know, who hasn't got their glasses and they're squinting at the menu and they usually, if they're long-sighted, they're holding it further away. Well, we just made it bigger, so it's okay. The only thing about this, Andrew, is the thing that I haven't worked out yet is how do I make money off this as a business idea? Right? Because if we're getting rid of glasses, everyone's just being forced to make things 30% bigger through policy.
Yeah.
How am I making money? I think what I have to do is I now, glasses are just, they never have any glass in them. They're just a frame.
Pure style.
Just pure style. That's what it is. And that's where I'm making the money. I'm charging the same money for glasses without the glass in. So I'm not paying for the lenses to sell them to you, but you are paying for that stuff.
Fashion piece. Could I propose that you're making everything bigger, you're not making any money or that, but if you start selling lots of magnifying glasses, that would effectively be the same idea.
I feel like what you've done there though is that's a circular thing. You've gone back around to just selling glasses again.
Oh shit.
That's what that is there. Yeah, because the glasses make it look 30% bigger, but actually it is 30% bigger.
It is actually just bigger.
Yeah. I have to sell. I really, really have to just get into natural resources because everything's going to take 30% more natural resources now.
Oh, so
actually, I just
what you're saying here is you're going to become an oil baron, and eventually it'll trickle down to you because you're having to get 30% more petroleum out of the ground.
Yeah, exactly. I buy up all of the metal that's used to make cars with, because Nissan are going to buy 30% more metal from now on. So I'm guaranteed a decent uplift in revenue. I think that probably is it, actually. I think that might actually be a better idea. I think I'll probably make more money out of that.
So your idea,
yeah,
to clarify,
uh-huh,
through policy, law,
yeah,
bribery and cultural shift, everything is
lobbying.
Made,
yep.
A lot of lobbying. Everything, everywhere is made 30% bigger.
Everything.
But you have made big investments, yep, in the natural resources company.
Yeah, I think that's it. The only thing that I can think of which is a bit more difficult is like animals and other people. It's like, that feels like a bit, like if cars are 30% bigger, but dogs are still the same size and you can't see them, that's a problem.
That's right? Okay, actually. Dogs make noise.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
dogs
true.
Bark. You're okay.
You can hear them. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. I mean, maybe I'll also open up a CRISPR company as well. That's about
genetically engineering. Yeah. Okay.
Just genetically engineering. Big everything dog. To be 30% bigger. Yeah. That's what I feel. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. That was my idea. That's it. That's what I'm going with.
So I've been out traveling a lot recently.
All right. Rub it in.
And we've got an ad that really, from a company that really helped me out.
Oh yeah.
When I was away.
Nice.
This is a hotel service I stayed at, and I really felt really at home there. This is a hotel chain where only people with that name can stay there. So I went to the Andrew Hotel, but uh-huh, you know, there's also like the Craig Hotel and the Becky Hotel and the Rachel Hotel. Me and you aren't allowed in there.
Right.
But the Craigs and Beckys and Rachels of the world can go into their own one.
Oh.
And it's really exciting. You go in there, you would go to the Alex Hotel.
Yeah.
And there'd be 300 other Alexes in there.
Ooh.
Have you ever been added to a group chat on Facebook, Alex, with 300 people also called Alex?
Do you know what? I never have, but now
it's happened to me multiple times, and it's a little bit exciting, really? And also quite annoying. You get that experience in real life.
Wow.
At budget hotel room rates.
Nice. What? Why?
It's just exciting, isn't it? It's just exciting. Oh,
okay.
Meet like-minded people. Potentially.
Is it more expensive? If you have a rarer name, is it more expensive? Do you have to pay more for the quietness, or what's the deal? How's this work?
The issue is more like there's less, if your name is rarer, there's maybe going to be going to travel further to find one of these hotels. There's right. Andrew and Alex hotels everywhere, you know?
There's a lot of us. But if your name is Griselda...
Well, that's hard. You know, they're still always building more hotels and they're buying more Airbnb space. Right. So they're hoping that eventually in every city there will be a hotel with your name on it.
Oh. Wow. That sounds great. I like it. Does it have the name at the top when you, like, can you see it from far away? Is it on the top of the building? It says Alex Hotel in massive letters.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they've always called the Alex Hotel, the Andrew Hotel.
Nice.
Jasmine Hotel. Wherever you go, you can see it from afar. It's great.
I like that a lot. That's really nice. I was actually thinking the other day that it would be really cool to meet every other Alex in Durham where we live. I thought that would be pretty fun to do.
But that's it here. Imagine you're on holiday. Mm-hmm. You rock up to the Alex Hotel and there's the rest of them.
I love that. Does every city have every major name?
But they're working towards it. You know, the guy in the Series A funding... And they're still spreading out, but they're aiming for every city, every name, by 2024.
Well, is there a chain name? Is there a name for the hotel chain?
Alex, you know, this is the best bit about this particular bit. I don't have to invent the name because it's always just the Andrew Hotel, the Alex Hotel, the Jasmine Hotel.
Oh, right. And there's no umbrella company. It's just, that's it.
They're franchised. Wow. To own it, you have to have that name as well. So it's hard to have an umbrella corporation for it.
Wow, amazing. That's really good. Andrew, if there was someone else who wanted to advertise on our show or sponsor an episode, what is the best way for them to do that?
The best way would be to contact us on our email address, brainsontheoutside@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear all your random and weird and wonderful businesses that you would want to advertise on our show.
And what is the worst way?
The worst way? It would be to go into a field of crops with petrol and write out your idea in gasoline and petrol and then light it. So from space you could see it, but me and Alex, we don't have access to that sort of flight capability. So even though you have burnt your idea into the ground like a crop circle, we're never going to see that. That's a terrible way of doing it.
That is a very bad way of doing it. Please don't.
Please, please don't. Not again. So I had quite a similar idea to you originally as well. It kind of came from, well, so my dad one day, he needs glasses. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I don't know what was going on, but I came home and he had like 14 pairs. And my understanding is he went to the pound shop and he just bought one of every type just to try and figure out what was the correct like focal length he needed. Mm-hmm. I just doing like at home ad hoc tests. Now, this just means he has lots of glasses. Some of them might not technically be the right one, but he has a lot. I thought kind of similar to your idea. Let's just scale that up. Through mass production, we can get the price of glasses from, I don't know, £100 a pair. I have no idea how much glasses cost, to like 1 or 2 pence, enabling you to buy hundreds, if not thousands in a go. And now you're sat at home with 1,000 pairs of glasses. You're never going to lose them. And you can bring them outside and you just chuck them on the floor when you're bored of them. And eventually, because people are just losing their glasses outside, no matter where you go, there'll be a pair of glasses for you to pick up. Now, that's kind of taking a more social good, socialist communist way of doing it. We're just sharing our glasses. And when you went this hyper-capitalistic route.
We are a business ideas podcast, Andrew. We are capitalists.
Well, we are. We're still selling the glasses to the people originally.
Yeah. I can foresee some interesting challenges. I think our ideas are quite different, actually.
Yeah.
I can see some interesting challenges with your idea. Like,
oh yeah.
If, for example, you live in a household of 5 people.
Yeah.
And everybody has a different prescription.
Yeah.
And needs glasses. And now you have 5,000 pairs of glasses inside your house.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of glasses.
It's a lot. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not a lot of glasses. It's it's too many.
And now, while my idea ended up with big piles of glasses on the street, at least they were out on the street. Like 5,000 pairs of glasses in my house.
Well, this sounds like a lot. This is one of the ways we're going to incentivize you to get them out on the street. Because you're going to be sat at home on the kitchen table with 4,000 pairs of glasses. And you're going to be like, I can't live like this. This is no way to live when I come home from a hard day to work and be literally knee deep in spectacles.
Right. I think I might actually have nailed it here.
Oh, okay.
I think your idea is phase one. And then that results in my idea of the site as a service because people are so pissed off about having 5,000 pairs of glasses in their house.
Now, that's interesting. This is actually like some real evil New World Order boardroom politics shit where it's like we've engineered this. We've socially engineered everyone to hate having so many glasses, even though we created that problem.
Exactly.
We'll sell them the solution as well. Wow.
Because people now have 5,000 pairs of glasses in their house, in that transition, we're like, don't worry, we'll take those glasses off your hands for you for the mere price of a penny a pair. And we buy them off you for 1p, and then we're going to rent them back to you at more money.
Genius.
Yeah.
Evil genius.
It is. I think it is.
A lot of money.
I think it's going to make us a lot of money because we sold you the glasses in the first place for 3 pence a pair. We buy them back off you for a penny a pair, making ourselves a tidy 2 pence profit.
And then we're renting
them. And then we're going to rent them back to you.
Pence an hour.
£4 a day.
Yeah. Forever.
Forever.
That's pretty good.
I think this is it. This is the Peter Thiel version of of glasses as a service.
Alex, I have some other ideas.
Okay,
I want to throw out.
Oh yeah,
so I think you had the good grace not to choose that idea as the one you're putting forward for selection.
Right.
So I thought I have two ideas, and I'll throw them out here and just see what you think. One is actually quite sensible. Now, we're barreling towards a future where, like, you know, you can buy Ray-Bans in them with a glass with a little camera.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to buy Apple VR headsets. They have cameras in them, right?
Yeah.
Because you can take pictures of your children's birthday party instead of actually attending it. It's really weird. But this means you'll never lose your glasses again, actually. That's kind of a pretty good feature for that. So that was one. We just sell glasses with cameras in it.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's actually, it's not got to the root of the problem. Because, like, this isn't solving Jasmine's actual problem. What was her actual problem? It was not finding her glasses. But what was deeper, if we look deeper, it's a memory thing. And, you know, people have been wearing glasses for hundreds of thousands of years, maybe millions. I'm not a glasses scientist, I don't know. And we still have this problem. So a bit of me started thinking that, like, we're not going to be able to solve it by only going, surface level. We're going to have to go deeper.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
And really go after the real problem, which is people are forgetful.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is a big market. So I kind of imagine there's a Nintendo DS game, Brain Training,
mm-hmm.
to make you apparently have better brain. What if it was that, but just for glasses? There's like a Nintendo DS game or a modern console where it would just teach you how to remember where you put your, you know, just whatever objects you have made out of glass.
That's interesting, that is. So it's like that, yeah.
As well, now you're just getting better memory.
Mm. Overall.
Overall, yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice additional benefit, isn't it? Yeah. You could see that working as well, where it's like, you know, you, day one, you decide where to put your virtual pair of glasses. Day two, it's like, where's the virtual pair of glasses?
Yeah.
You have to choose where you put it. Yeah, and it just gets more and more complicated every day, like, or the gap gets longer. Yeah.
But we're training you to remember where you put stuff. And also, at the same time, we could run like high-value consulting, which is like just getting your memory back on track, you know?
What if we just made it really fashionable to still wear those, like, those chains that keep your glasses hanging around your neck, like nanas wear, but everyone wears those now.
Ooh.
So your glasses are always connected to you.
That's actually pretty good as well.
Yeah.
Practical.
What if we made it so that if you didn't put your glasses on every hour, you just died?
You mean like one of our hired hitmen would just come and shoot you in the back of the head, or?
No, it's like there's some, I don't know, like, some, you have to put your glasses on and it releases some chemical into your head. Which,
oh, we
like
have some put antidote. Something.
Yeah, yeah, we've like
in the back of your head, and then
exactly
it knows when you're in glasses, and it completes the electric circuit and adds an hour to the clock.
Exactly, it's like the, you know, Olympic athletes. They take is it EPO? They take a drug which lowers their heart rate to the point where they actually have to get up in the middle of the night and exercise, or they'll just die.
Wow,
and we've done that, but with glasses, and so the investment.
Holy shit.
In putting your glasses on and remembering where they are is so great that you'll never forget them again. You're like, if I lose my glasses, I actually will die.
That's hardcore, man. That's fucking hardcore. I just wanted to give you a Nintendo DS and brain training, and you're out here fucking killing folk.
Well, people are killing themselves by forgetting their glasses. So.
Oh, okay, so it's not an us problem. Like,
it's not an us problem.
A
We're just incentivizing you to keep them on, to keep wearing them. Yeah.
Fuck. I went to some real places, Alex.
Yeah. I feel.
It seems like you're not maybe fully over having to wear glasses every day. It feels like you've got some built up rage here.
Some frustrations. I got to be honest, I really like wearing glasses every day.
Yeah.
You know, I have a stack of about 10 boxes of contact lenses that I've never got through. Each box of contact lens has like 30 lenses in it. And I've just never gotten through them because I keep wearing my glasses and I keep, you know, because I like wearing glasses. It's easy.
Wow. Yeah.
But then if I didn't have to wear glasses, would I still wear them? I don't know.
If your brain was going to literally explode.
Then yes, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like an episode of Black Mirror or something.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's harder as I imagine as a product you could sell, but it does, you know, give your life a certain amount of focus, you know, sadly around your glasses.
If that's too dark, all right, what if every pair of glasses was actually rose tinted? So when you put them on, everything was just nicer. Everything was better. We use AI in every pair of glasses to make, just, we just make, oh, you're looking at an industrial landscape? No, it's a beautiful collection of trees and delightful sunsets, you know, and we make that. So we're incentivizing you positively to put your glasses on all the time because actually the world's going to be a nicer, more beautiful place.
You could make so much money there from going to like Big Oil and being like, you'll just airbrush this out. Just airbrush this out.
For everyone, yeah.
Everyone.
If you want to get rid of that huge smokestack in the middle of the city.
Airbrushed out. Yeah,
no one needs
that
to
massive
see
oil
it.
Spill.
Yeah.
Airbrushed out.
It's gone now. It's actually a huge spill of delicious custard that everyone's looking at. And it's so it's so glistening and shimmery and beautiful. It's a sea of sea turtle eggs. Not a huge, pool of environmentally destructive oil.
Well, those are all, thank you for coming and helping me in my house so much after we clashed on ideas. But I think I'm going to go with, we're going to try and make your memory better.
Oh.
Do a lot of limitless style pills, you know, to expand your brain. Memory training games and weird riddles and stuff, which are going to make you have better memory for glasses related objects. So that was two solutions at least to Jasmine's problem. Memory training or just
make everything bigger.
I should make everything bigger. That's two good ideas.
I think so.
The half thousands of glasses. That was a decent one too, but you can't pick that one, Jasmine. It's only those two.
Yeah.
Now, Sam from last week, she hasn't come back to us yet. So we don't have new leaderboard updates. But I think it is 3 to me, 1 to you, and due to somebody finding a loophole, 1 to Hannah, our listener.
Yeah.
Jasmine, you're invited to try and find a loophole as well. But try play nicely, please. Alex, if any of our listeners have problems that they need to get solved with an amazing new business venture, how would they contact us?
Well, Andrew, the best way is to email us at our Gmail address, which is brainsontheoutside@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you if you have a business problem that you need solving in your business, or you have a problem in the world that you think there should be a business to solve.
That would be just amazing if you did that, guys. But what is the one thing, Alex, we want more than anything in the world? More than anything.
A horse?
Horse, world peace, and then in third place, it's...
it's more listeners. Please tell your friends and your family and your friendly local neighborhood greengrocer and your MP... and your parents and a man that you meet on the street about the show, please.
Yeah, just literally everyone. That'd be great.
I mean, not everyone.
Oh, no, I'm going for everyone. Eventually, everyone. We'll build up to there. Okay. Your MP and local people on your street first, and then literally everyone.
Okay, yeah, good.
Alex, do you have one final business idea?
Yes, Andrew, I do, actually. It is a tiny little speaker that fits on the front of your bicycle, but that makes it sound like a steam engine.
That's so good. So cute.
Keep your brain on the outside.
Keep your brain on the outside.